This article is brought to you by the best-selling books A Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How neurodivergence affects emotional self-awareness. Why your brain's wiring shapes what you feel, and when you feel it. In short, neurodivergent emotional self-awareness does not work the way most development advice assumes. The internal signals that neurotypical approaches rely on are often weaker, delayed, or absent entirely for people with ADHD, autism, or dyslexia. The solution is not to try harder with the same tools. It is to build a different set of tools that match how your brain actually works. Definition: neurodivergent emotional self-awareness is the capacity of a person with a neurological difference, such as ADHD, autism, or dyslexia, to recognize, interpret, and work with their own emotional states. The process is shaped by how their nervous system receives and processes internal signals, which differs in both speed and clarity from neurotypical norms. There is a pattern I have watched repeat itself for decades. A person with real intelligence and genuine desire to communicate better sits across from me and says some version of this: I know something went wrong, but I honestly did not see it coming until it was too late. They are not avoiding responsibility. They genuinely did not see it. And the reason, in many of these cases, is not a lack of effort or care. It is that their brain does not broadcast emotional signals in the way that standard self-awareness advice assumes it will. Neurodivergent emotional self-awareness is the subject of this article, and it deserves more than a passing mention in a list of tips for diverse teams. It deserves a proper explanation of the mechanics. Because once you understand why the usual methods fall short, you can build something that actually works. What standard self-awareness advice gets wrong about neurodivergent brains? Most guidance on emotional self-awareness rests on one assumption: that you can feel an emotion forming in your body before it takes over your behavior. Pause, notice the tension in your chest, name the feeling, choose your response. Clean, logical, and for a significant number of people, completely inaccessible. The reason comes down to a process called interoception, your brain's ability to read signals from inside your own body. Heart rate climbing, jaw tightening, stomach dropping. For many neurotypical people, these signals arrive early and clearly enough to serve as an early warning system for emotional states. For many neurodivergent people, they do not. The signal is either absent, delayed, or buried under so much sensory noise that it cannot be read until it is already loud. This is not a character flaw. It is a structural difference in how the nervous system processes internal information. The three mechanisms that change everything. Understanding neurodivergent emotional self-awareness requires understanding three distinct but connected mechanisms. Each one disrupts a different part of the self-awareness process. When your body does not signal clearly. Interoceptive differences mean that the physical cues most self-awareness tools are built around simply do not register in the same way. A person might move from calm to dysregulated in what looks to others like seconds, not because they fail to manage their emotions, but because they received no early signal that anything was changing. By the time the emotion is detectable, it has already crossed the threshold into action. This connects directly to what happens in high-pressure moments at work. If you want to understand how emotional flooding can overtake even the most capable professional in real time, the piece on what the amygdala hijack is and how it escalates workplace tension is worth reading alongside this one. For neurodivergent people, the hijack can arrive faster and with less warning. When feelings are hard to name. The second mechanism is alexithymia, difficulty identifying and describing one's own emotional states. It appears frequently in autistic people and in a meaningful proportion of those with ADHD. It does not mean the person is emotionally flat or unfeeling. It means the internal pathway from I'm feeling something to I can name and work with that feeling is not automatic. It requires deliberate effort that neurotypical people do not have to consciously apply. The practical consequence is significant. If you cannot label what you're feeling, you cannot communicate it clearly to others, and you cannot choose how to respond to it. Emotional granularity, the ability to distinguish between frustration and disappointment, between anxiety and excitement, becomes much harder. And without that granularity, self-awareness remains stuck at a surface level that does not serve you. When the emotion arrives like a wave. The third mechanism is the speed and intensity of emotional experience in conditions like ADHD. Rejection-sensitive dysphoria is one of the most under-recognized features of ADHD in professional settings. A piece of corrective feedback delivered neutrally can register as devastating criticism. A colleague's brief silence can read as contempt. The emotional response is real and intense, but it is disproportionate to what actually happened, and it arrives before any conscious processing can take place. This is not sensitivity as a personality trait. It is a neurological feature, and it creates a cycle. The person reacts, then feels shame about the reaction, which makes them more guarded, which makes the next reaction harder to catch. For managers trying to understand how to lead neurodivergent team members effectively, recognizing the cycle is foundational. You cannot help someone build self-awareness by asking them to simply slow down when their nervous system is not built for the particular kind of pause. What this looks like in real conversations. Let me give you a concrete picture. A senior project manager with undiagnosed ADHD receives feedback in a team meeting that her report needs revision. She says very little in the moment. 30 minutes later, in a one-to-one with a colleague, she is sharp, distracted, and dismissive. By the evening, she is convinced the feedback was a signal that her position is under threat. None of this is conscious catastrophizing. Her nervous system registered a threat signal. She had no internal warning of the escalation, and the emotion built pressure below the surface until it discharged sideways. A different scenario. An autistic communication specialist is consistently praised for his thoroughness, but flagged for being difficult in meetings. His colleagues read his flat tone and minimal eye contact as disengagement or arrogance. He, meanwhile, is working hard to track the conversation, process what he is feeling, and formulate a response. He is not disengaged. He is running a more effortful version of the same process his colleagues do automatically. In both cases, the self-awareness challenge is real, but it is not a failure of will or desire. The architecture simply works differently. If you want to understand how signs of amygdala hijack can quietly destroy team synergy in these moments, look at the behavior patterns these two scenarios produce over weeks and months. Why this goes unrecognized for so long? The most common reason neurodivergent emotional self-awareness challenges go undetected is masking. From a young age, many neurodivergent people learn to perform the outward signals of composure and clarity, even when their internal experience is chaotic. They learn to mirror facial expressions, to give expected responses to questions about how they feel, to suppress and delay. They become skilled at appearing self-aware while the real internal process is largely invisible, even to themselves. Masking is exhausting. It consumes exactly the kind of cognitive and emotional resource that genuine self-awareness needs. The more energy that goes into performing normality, the less is available for actual inner noticing. Many neurodivergent professionals discover, often well into adulthood, that they have spent years performing self-awareness rather than practicing it. There is also the matter of feedback. When a neurodivergent person gives feedback that seems to land well and receives positive responses, they may have successfully performed the expected emotional script without ever genuinely accessing their own state. The connection between confidence, competence, and feedback quality is particularly relevant here, because the confidence that comes from performing successfully can mask the absence of genuine self-knowledge beneath it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building self-awareness that works with your brain. The repair is not to work harder at the standard approach. It is to build a different scaffolding. The first shift is learning to read physical states before trying to name emotions. Rather than asking, what am I feeling? Start with what is happening in my body right now. Tension in the shoulders. Shallow breathing. Clenched jaw. These are data points. You do not need to know whether the feeling is anxiety or irritation. You need to know that your system is activated and act on that information. This approach bypasses the alexithymia barrier and uses body signals as the entry point rather than the missing emotional label. The second shift is building external check-in structures. Because internal signals arrive late or not at all, you need prompts from outside the body. A set time each day to ask three simple questions. A trusted colleague who flags a change in your tone before you've registered it yourself. A physical object you move from one pocket to the other when you notice activation. These are not workarounds or admissions of weakness. They are practical tools, and they work. Managing your own reactions under pressure becomes more achievable with a clear system in place and the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers. Defensiveness offers exactly the kind of structured approach that neurodivergent self-awareness genuinely benefits from. The third shift is learning your personal escalation pattern. Not a general model, but your specific sequence. For one person, the first sign is a loss of appetite for conversation. For another, it is a narrowing of focus onto a single detail. For another, it is a sudden desire to leave a room. These patterns are learnable. They take time to map, but once mapped, they give you something the interoceptive system was not providing, an early warning that is specific and recognizable. Understanding how the confidence-competence loop affects emotional regulation under pressure is also useful here. As neurodivergent people develop real self-awareness tools that work for their brain, their confidence in their own emotional knowledge grows. That confidence then supports better communication, which produces better outcomes, which builds more confidence. The loop turns in the right direction, but only when the foundation is genuine rather than performed. The bigger picture for teams and managers. Neurodivergent emotional self-awareness does not exist in isolation. It plays out inside teams, under deadlines, in feedback conversations, in rooms where the emotional stakes are high. Managers who understand the mechanics have a significant advantage over those who simply notice that certain people react strangely or seem hard to read. Understanding how confidence and competence interact for neurodivergent team members means you stop expecting the same self-awareness process from every person and start asking what scaffolding each person actually needs. This much I know for certain: the teams that handle this well are not the ones where everyone performs the same emotional script. They are the ones where each person has built enough genuine self-knowledge to act with intention, even when the signals are hard to read. For neurodivergent professionals, neurodivergent emotional self-awareness is not a destination you reach by trying harder. It is a set of tools you build deliberately, over time, that match the way your brain actually works. That is not a lesser standard. In many ways, it demands more courage than the conventional path. Frequently asked questions. What is neurodivergent emotional self-awareness? Neurodivergent emotional self-awareness is the ability of a person with conditions like ADHD, autism, or dyslexia to recognize and interpret their own emotional states. It often develops differently because the internal signals that most people rely on, such as body sensations and emotional cues, are processed in atypical ways. Why do neurodivergent people struggle with emotional self-awareness? Many neurodivergent people have reduced interoceptive awareness, meaning the physical signals that signal emotion, such as tension, heart rate, or breath changes, do not register clearly. Some also experience alexithymia, a difficulty naming or identifying feelings, which makes it harder to catch an emotional state before it escalates. How does ADHD affect emotional self-awareness in the workplace? ADHD affects emotional self-awareness by compressing the gap between feeling and reacting. Emotional flooding can happen faster than reflection allows, and rejection-sensitive dysphoria can make neutral feedback feel like a personal attack. The challenge is not emotional depth, but speed of recognition and regulation. Can neurodivergent people improve their emotional self-awareness? Yes, and many do. The key is building external scaffolding rather than relying solely on internal signals. Naming physical states before emotional labels, using structured check-ins, and learning personal escalation patterns all strengthen self-awareness over time, working with the brain rather than against it. How does masking affect self-awareness in neurodivergent professionals? Masking, the effort to perform neurotypical behavior, consumes significant cognitive and emotional energy. Over time, it can disconnect a person from their genuine inner state, making it harder to notice real emotions beneath the performance. Many neurodivergent professionals realize they are exhausted or overwhelmed only after reaching a breaking point. What is alexithymia, and how does it connect to neurodivergence? Alexithymia is a difficulty identifying and describing one's own emotions. It appears more frequently in autistic people and some with ADHD than in the general population. It does not mean a person lacks emotion. It means the pathway from feeling to labeling that emotion is less automatic and requires more deliberate effort. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.